Praise the Lord. Now, we're turning to Psalm number 130, and we're going to sing a chorus. We're going to title this message today, Spiritual Bacteria. Amen. Spiritual Bacteria, Psalm 130. Let's sing that chorus, We're Coming Out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon, we're coming out of Babylon with a joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. For we've taken our harps down from the willow trees, for the Lord our God has set us free. And we shout, praise God for victory, and we magnify the Lord. We're coming out of Babylon, we're coming out of Babylon with a joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. For we've taken our harps down from the willow trees, for the Lord our God has set us free. And we shout, praise God for victory, and we magnify the Lord. We're coming out of Babylon, we're coming out of Babylon with a joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. We've taken our harps down from the willow trees, for the Lord our God has set us free. And we shout, praise God for victory, and we magnify the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Give the Lord a big hand praise now. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. And of course, those listening on the internet and those who hear this message later, the excitement that you're hearing is people filled with the Holy Ghost or actively seeking to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are turning to Psalm number 130, entitling this message, Spiritual Bacteria. And I'll get into that in a moment, but I'd like to read this relatively short psalm first. Now let's pay very close attention to it. Before we even do that, I would like to ask for the Lord's help, because without Him, we are helpless. We can do nothing. Right. We depend on Him. You couldn't lift one finger without God. You couldn't draw one breath without the Lord. Oh, yes. Amen. You couldn't produce those 50 million enzymes you have in the last minute without the Lord. And it happened without you even knowing it, didn't it? Praise the Lord. Shall we call upon Him? Father in heaven, we do thank Thee, Lord, for Thy blessings to us. And this is such a privilege to gather like this, be able to open Thy holy word together. And now, Lord, I pray that Thou wouldst speak through Thy word and to our hearts and draw us close to Thee, O God, because we are living in the end time and Thy coming is at hand. And this world is saturated with sin and evil. But Lord, Thou art able to raise up Thy people. O Lord, Thou art able to call us completely out of Babylon. And Thou art able to deliver us, O Lord. And I pray that Thou wouldst lead and guide and direct us by Thy Spirit. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Fill us, O Lord, with the light from on high. And fill us with that fire, O God, that Thou hast promised. And now, Lord Jesus, let Thy word come alive within us. Give us ears to hear. And I pray that Thou wouldst give us a great hunger and a thirst for righteousness. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to His name. Psalm 130, the psalmist David says, as he cries out, out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. Perhaps some of you can relate to this. Have you ever been in the depths? Anybody? Lord, hear my voice. Let Thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. We need more of that, don't we? If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? You know, I can't help but think of when Solomon was standing in the temple as it was being dedicated unto the Lord there in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, how he said, Lord, there is no man that sinneth not. There is no man that sinneth not. And the scripture says, and John wrote this in his epistle, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, not to some priest, but to God, we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now we read on, but there is forgiveness with thee. Isn't that awesome? That's our God. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Fear there means reverenced with awe. We fear Him, not in terror, not in fright, but in awesome respect. I wait for thee. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. I'd rather see the Lord come than see tomorrow morning come. Come on. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And we understand Israel to be those that are in Jesus Christ. That's Israel. The Israel of God. Those that have the testimony of Jesus Christ and the testimony of His blood, they are Israel. No matter what race they are from, we know that it's by grace, not by race, that we're saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not that of works, lest any man should boast. But this chapter tells us of the great forgiving power of God. And that even though you were in the depths of wherever you were, He heard your cry and brought you out, lest you be consumed. Amen. You see, He's talking about sin here. Sin is a problem. It's a big problem. The world is saturated with it. And there is a depth to sin. People go deeper and deeper and deeper into it. You see, sin is like bacteria. Now, we don't think much about bacteria because we can't see it. Although it does have an effect on us every so often, doesn't it? And the problem with bacteria is it multiplies so fast. If you took a 1 pound of hamburger and put it on room out in the kitchen there, wherever you are, room temperature, just out in the open, the bacteria content in that hamburger would double every 15 minutes. As a matter of fact, bacteria, which is very tiny, in fact, we measure it in micrometers. Of course, 1 meter, we're not on a metric system in America yet. The metric system actually was devised by Napoleon, one of Napoleon's scientists. They measured the distance from the North Pole to the equator and divided by 1 million, then you came up with a meter. Now, a micrometer is 1/1,000,000th of 1 meter. That's pretty small. And most bacteria are about 2 or 3 or maybe 4 micrometers long. And there are many, many kinds of it. Salmonella, E. coli. We hear about that lately, don't we? It seems to get into our food, doesn't it? Whether it be spinach or peanut butter. But it gets in there and makes a lot of people sick. And of course, in the water system, Milwaukee just had another problem there. One of their big 21-inch water pipes broke, and And they're handing out bottled water to everybody because they're afraid of E. coli. These little critters, these little creatures, microscopic, would get in there and make people deathly sick and sometimes kill them. But there are many kinds of bacteria, Staphylococcus bacillus, Streptococcus bacillus, Pseudomonas, a whole host of them. Some anaerobic, some aerobic. If it's anaerobic, it needs oxygen to live. If it's anaerobic, it can't stand the presence of oxygen, and that kills it. It's kind of amazing if you look at God's creation. You know, you can look up and see the stars, and God made, according to the scientists anyway, what they can figure, 30 billion of them. All of them bigger than the Earth. 30 billion stars. And what amazes me is he calls them all by name, it tells us in the scripture. How many of you could think of 30 billion names, different names, and then distinguish all of them one from another and know right where they were? We need to realize how great he is. But there's another world, a microscopic world. We don't think about that very much. But how many bacteria are there? Well, supposedly, according to the microbiologists and bacteriologists, they say that as best as their computers can calculate, there are approximately 5 nonillion bacteria in the world. Now, how much is a nonillion? Well, 100,000 is a million. 100 million is a billion. 100 billion is a trillion. Now we're getting into our national debt range. 100 trillion is a quadrillion. 100 quadrillion is a pentillion. 100 pentillion is a sextillion. 100 sextillion is a septillion. 100 septillion is an octillion. These numbers are boggling, aren't they? 100 septillion is an octillion. 100 octillion is a nonillion, and take that times 5. They believe that's how many bacteria there are in the world. Now, bacteria are dying all the time. They don't last long. Things kill them, and it's a good thing. Because in 1 week, if all bacteria lived and none died, it would cover the entire earth 6 feet deep with bacteria. It'd be up over most of your heads, not Brian maybe, but most of us would be up over our head. It multiplies so quickly and can be so destructive, and it's so small. It's kind of amazing. Makes me glad that the Lord provided us with something called soap. See, I've got to give you a little lesson here in microbiology first before we can get into make the comparisons here and tell you about spiritual bacteria. But I thank God for soap. We take it for granted sometimes, don't we? But it's a wonderful thing to have. And the way soap works is that it forms what's called an emulsion. An emulsion is when you take two things that don't combine and you mix them together. So the old grandma's old lye soap, you know, was made with lard and lye, sodium hydroxide, very caustic, it'd get in there and get the dirt and put up an environment where bacteria can't live very well on your hands. And there are all kinds of different kinds of soaps. But all soap has fat in it of some kind. Some kind of an oil. Whether it be grandma's lye soap with the lard or whether it be cocoa hard water castile made with olive oil. The point is you have water and you have oil and they don't mix. They don't combine, I should say. You can mix them together, but they never combine. Instead, they form long molecular chains. See, water has polarity to it, but not oils. And so on one end of the chain, it's conducive to oil. The other end of the molecular chain is conducive to water. One organic, one inorganic. And it forms an emulsion. And what it does, it forms bubbles and carries off the viruses and the bacteria off from your hands. You know, I asked a question one time, why is it that doctors hardly ever get sick? They do, but hardly ever. They wash their hands constantly. They're constantly washing their hands, washing their hands, washing their hands, and getting rid of that bacteria. And by the way, with a soap, you need bubbles. Because it's the bubbles, God made this in such an amazing way. It's the bubbles in the soap that encapsulate the anaerobic bacteria in little bubbles of oxygen that kills the bacteria, lifts it off, and the bacteria and viruses actually are washed out in the bubbles. So you need bubbly soap. They always say when you wash your hands, you're supposed to sing, make sure you wash them long enough, sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Well, I don't do that. But every morning you hear me getting up, washing my hands, singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And by the time I sing a verse of that, then I know I've got enough bubbles and it washes everything off. And you know, there's a spiritual impact that this makes. I'm so amazed that when I look at this, because in your body, let's get it down right close to home here. In your body, how many bacteria are in your body? There are 10 times more bacteria than there are cells in the human body. Most of it in your digestive tract, primarily in your colon. 10 times as many bacteria as you have cells. God is awesome in all of his ways. But the point is this world is full of bacteria. Some places more than others. Boy, there's some places I hate to walk into. They're just so germy, you know? When I was a teenager, I remember graduating from high school, and back in those days, you could drink beer at 18 if you were dumb enough to do it. And I was. You know, I wasn't saved yet. Didn't know the Lord yet. Still in the occult. And a bunch of us guys got together. We went out to this place called Hawk's Bar out near Shiocton. And that's named after the Shiok River up near New London there. Indian name. And this place was so filthy. You walk in and you're going to think I'm joking with you, but I am not. I'm being dead serious. You had to pay a dime extra if you wanted a clean glass. On the floor, there were places where people would vomit and they'd throw sweeping compound on it and just leave it. And fights would break out. Standard procedure was when you'd leave, you'd take your glass that you're drinking the beer out of and throw it against the wall until it would shatter and the glass would fly all over. It was just a hog pen. It was unbelievable. And I walked in there and I thought, oh, a microbiologist would never get through the door. Because you'd be a little more conscious of what's going on there. But there are places in this world, and there are people in this world, that are absolutely filthy. And the fact is, and I told you all this about bacteria, because sin is like bacteria. It spreads. If unchecked, it accumulates, and accumulates, and accumulates. And you and I have all been affected by it. To the point where at one time or another in your life, and I think it's true of all of us, because the Lord takes us through this, we were in the depth of sin. To whatever degree you were, it doesn't matter. The fact is, you were in deep and over your head. And you didn't have any way out. And there is no way to deal with sin at all as far as what you can do. You needed help. And when you cried out to God, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. It takes supplication to get rid of sin. It takes repentance. It takes laying it all out there. Because, thank God, sin can be emulsified. Remember, soap is an emulsifier. The two things that don't mix. The Word of God tells me that when Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary, and it was time for his body to expire, only to rise again the third day. But as he was there, they were going to break the legs of the prisoners because it was near sundown and the high Sabbath was coming. the day of convocation. And as they were hanging there, they break the legs of the other two prisoners. But Jesus, there was a prophecy regarding him. Not a bone of him was broken. They found him already dead. And that Roman soldier took that spear and pushed it into his side, and forthwith came blood and water. Blood and water. Two things which, by the way, don't mix. And we know that we are called to repentance, and by the power of the blood, to the waters of baptism. And the blood and the water agree together. Isn't it amazing? Blood and water don't mix, and things that don't mix will form an emulsion. And this is a spiritual emulsion. The blood and the water that will wash away the sin. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, bacteria, if there's enough of it, is visible. You can see it. Sin is something, we see people sin. We see the effect of it. We see the results of it. But we don't really see sin. God sees sin. We see individual transgressions. You understand what I'm saying? But sin is a condition that God looks at. When God looks down at this world, He sees a world that is literally covered in sin as if it were covered in bacteria. You know, when we go to our jobs or go out there among the public, I see people all the time. I think, oh, I don't want to get too close to that one. He's covered with spiritual bacteria. Maybe somebody comes to mind. You see, people are just, you know, they're just saturated with evil. And it's killing them. It's eating away at them. It's destroying them. And you really don't want to get too close any more than you have to. But thank God that sin can be emulsified. Remember the old days when they used to burn sulfur? They don't do it much anymore. Back in the old days, there'd be a plague of some kind. There's a big plague in New York and quite a number of years ago, and in various places, where everybody was getting sick and they were burning sulfur in all the homes. Isn't that a wonderful smell? Whew. There's an old saying, if it stinks, it has sulfur in it. Whether it be an onion or a skunk. It's true. They have sulfur content. But the fact is that bacteria, now, sulfur doesn't kill bacteria, but it can't grow in its presence. So if you fumigated the house by burning sulfur, the bacteria would actually, and since they die relatively quickly anyway on their own, it just prevents them from multiplying. Sulfa drugs do the same thing. They don't kill bacteria, they just keep the bacteria from being able to multiply. But anyway, it's rather interesting because I think when you look at this whole picture, that sin is so much like bacteria in a spiritual sense. And the emulsifying power of the blood and the water prescribed in the gospel has the power to wash it away, bubble it away. It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. Huh? Praise the Lord. Bubbles are good. And I think of that beautiful song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Two things that don't mix form an emulsion. The blood and the water, and washes away our sins. We need to repent. We need to be baptized in Jesus' name and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let the temple be cleansed, lest the power of God come down. Amen. And it's a wonderful thing when people repent and get under the blood. Hallelujah. And if you've been baptized already, that water continues to wash. There's a continual emulsion there. In the presence of the blood of Jesus, there is that water baptism that you had accomplished, you had obeyed. It's a constant washing and bubbling in your soul. Amen. Oh, it is so powerful. Let me show you the power of repentance. I'm amazed by this. We're going back into the Old Testament to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, and we're going to look at a man by the name of Manasseh. You know, when you look at sin and compare it to bacteria, doesn't that make you just want to, let's get washed, you know? Now watch, before lunch today, later, everybody's going to be in there just scrubbing their hands, looking for bubbles. Watch the bubbles! Start the bubble machine. All right? Okay. Now, some soap doesn't produce bubbles. It isn't worth anything. If you're using soap that doesn't produce bubbles, it's no good at all. Okay? It's something to remember. Those bubbles are there for a reason. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, there was a king of Judah by the name of Manasseh. And let's read about him carefully and see what happens. Because he found that he was in over his head. He found he was literally saturated with spiritual bacteria and needed a full cleansing. And he got it. But before he got it, something happened. Watch this. And for those of you who think you've gone too far or you've sinned too much and God doesn't completely forgive you, I got news for you. God completely not only forgives but remits your sins. And when he does, he forgets them.
That's right. Amen.
All right? In 2 Chronicles 33:1, it says, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. 12-year-old king. 12 years old.
Praise the Lord.
Now, he started out bad, but God turned him around. Watch what happens. But did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord did cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves. They like to worship under these green trees, you know. All right? And worshipped all the host of heaven, that's the sun, moon, and stars, the planets, and so forth, and served them. Also, he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. That's bad. You talk about spiritual bacteria. All right? And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He sacrificed his own children in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also, he observed times, that's astrology, and used enchantments and used witchcraft. This is the king of Judah. And dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. The bacteria was multiplying, wasn't it? Multiplying and multiplying. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove my foot from Israel, from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen. Worse than the heathen. I don't know. Somehow this reminds me of the country we're living in. And we're having a little trouble too, aren't we? And over there in California, they got these mudslides now. They said that in the streets of Los Angeles, in certain areas there, furniture is being washed down the street. Mud-covered furniture just washing down the street. Houses filled with mud. Landslides. And they're blaming it on the fact that there's so many forest fires, there's not enough trees and so forth to maintain the soil so that it just runs off with the rain. 4 inches of rain in just a few hours and just washed everything out. Out on the East Coast, the west wing of the White House is buried in snow. I think Obama's calling it Snowmageddon. Yeah. And broke all records. Shut everything down. 90,000 customers without power just in the D.C. metro area. And all over Virginia and all over out there, power outages. And you know what the big complaint is? How are we going to watch the Super Bowl? They got snow choking off the streets. Everything is shut down. And that's the biggest concern. Well, isn't it amazing how people are? Washington is absolutely buried. Now, Joy gave me an article this morning telling me about North Korea now is absolutely belly up. They are all done as a nation. They're wiped out financially. They have nothing. China is rising up. China is buying all kinds of oil fields in Canada. The kings of the East are moving westward and taking over the land of what they call the Round Eyes. Well, I don't care if they want to call us Round Eyes. As far as I'm concerned with them, you could blindfold them with dental floss. But anyway. The Orientals against the Occidentals. And they're taking over everything. Did the Bible say that would happen? Absolutely. So, you know, you look at this and then consider the fact that it's now, by the way, mathematically impossible for us to ever get out of debt in our country because the debt has now exceeded the total value of everything in the country. It's a brand new report just came out factoring in all money, everything of any value, all buildings, all land, and everything combined together. We don't have enough to cover our debt. And that with this present money system, we can never get out. Which means there's going to have to be a new money system. Which is the mark of the beast. Which is the power of Antichrist coming in. And I can just see the old Antichrist come in at the right time and say, all right, all of you, you're so in debt. You got so much credit card debt. You got so much mortgage debt. So many death contracts, mortgages. Which is a death contract. You got all these things pressing down on you. Now, when I become dictator, I'm going to forgive you all your debts. Oh, what a wonderful man! Someone they could worship! Just as Jesus forgave all of our sins, the Antichrist comes in and says, I'll forgive all your debts. Do you think people would like that? Suddenly have nothing to pay? Well, that won't be the case because they'll have hell to pay.
That's right. Amen.
Now, that was one of Hillary Clinton's favorite expressions. Don't get in my way or you'll have hell to pay. She was declaring herself a collection agent for hell. But anyway, verse 9 says, so Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh, Isn't that great? God still spoke to them after all of that. And to his people. Does God speak to his people? But they would not hearken. They would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria. Do we see our country being taken over? Khrushchev came over here one time years ago. You know, that shoe-pounding prime minister of Russia, Soviet Union, pardon me. He used to sit there and argue, and he was never a nice guy. He'd get among all the other politicians, and he'd always be lecturing them and demanding. They gave him a big turkey dinner one time. He never had turkey before, you know. And said, oh, this is wonderful. Someday this is all going to be ours. Meaning the whole country, we're going to take over. And then he took out his, out of his attaché case, he took out a shoe. He always pounded that shoe. That was an extra one he carried with him. He didn't take it off his foot. We will bury you. Anybody old enough to remember that? We will bury you. China, the same thing. We're going to take over. And everybody was worried about invasions. They had Conrad warnings over the radio, 640 or 1240. You know, take cover if you hear this. This is a test. It is only a test. For an actual emergency, you know, tune to 640 or 1240. People were making fallout shelters and bomb shelters and all this. And we had to sit in our classroom in school. Every Friday had a practice. We'd get down under our desks and put our hands over our heads and duck down, you know. And they're training us, see. All of that. They were dropping that bomb on us every week. They didn't have to do that. They're just walking in and buying it out.
That's right.
When they can raise the flag over the red communist Chinese flag over Washington, D.C., when they can light up the Empire State Building in red and yellow in honor of the communist revolution, which mass murdered millions of people, and we're going to honor that with our Empire State Building. Of course, we got a president. Oh, I almost have to choke when I say it. This Kenyan, who when he was a senator went over to Kenya to overthrow democracy and set up his brother, he's got a brother over there, a cousin or something, Odinga. I think it's his brother. Hey, if you've got a relative named Odinga, you don't belong in the United States. But anyway, he's not his president. And he's a communist, and he went there to set up communism. There's still a battle going on over there. But for some reason, communism and Islam seem to be compatible in Kenya. There's a lot of intrigue going on. You know, we used to have this little story we'd tell, this little riddle, you know. I remember from when I was just a little guy, this neighbor boy asked me, what's black and white and red all over? And I don't know, a newspaper. Big laugh, you know, it was funny. And another person said, how about the sunburned zebra? Yeah, okay. A nun that fell down the stairs, yeah, all right. But now what's black and white and red all over? Obama! He's black and white and he is red communist all over. Do you realize we have a communist sitting in the White House? And not a shot had to be fired. No, it's been taken over. I hope you know that. And we're seeing the results of it. This country is so full of spiritual bacteria. You know, when God looks down from heaven, he sees sin as a frothing bacteria surrounding the earth. But he calls his people out. Watch what happened to Manasseh. As a result of their sin and refusing to listen to God, he brought the king of Assyria and the host of the Assyrians, which took Manasseh among the thorns. Now what that means is, when it says among the thorns, It means that he put hooks through his jaws, through the jaws of the people. They literally take a hook, put it under the tongue, down through the jaw, so they're locked into the jawbone, put brass chains on them, and hauled them off to Babylon. If you got a hook through your jaw, you're not going to try and get away. All right? That's why they did it. That was nasty. Among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God. I would say he was in the depths, wouldn't you? But from the depths there was a cry, as evil as that man was, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication. That's our God. And brought him again to Jerusalem, into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Amen. Now after this, he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gihon, in the valley, even to the entering in at the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel, and raised it up a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods. Amen. Come on, isn't that great? Yeah. Do we have any strange gods in this country? Are people that worship strange gods? Is that going on at all? Do you know how many Satanists there are? Hollywood is full of Satanism. And they have a lot of disciples of Satanism. The recording stars are Satanists. Some are witches. Some are Satanists. Some are followers of Aleister Crowley, who claimed to be both a witch and a Satanist. Aleister Crowley stood up and proudly proclaimed that he was both Jesus and Satan at the same time. And people follow this stuff. And they'll write little salutations to Satan on the walls of their homes or on the doors or in their textbooks and all over the place. People are worshiping the devil today. We're full of spiritual bacteria in this country. It's like, Lord, get me out of here. Ooh, you know? I need a shower from on high. Don't want to get too close to this nonsense, you know? And that's why I don't understand people who can go in amongst all the ungodly and feel comfortable. It's bad enough we have to work with some of them. Anybody here ever work with any ungodly people? Anybody? Oh, where do I wash my hands, right? Spiritual bacteria multiplying and multiplying. I still can't get over that statistic. If left unchecked, if bacteria never died, in 1 week would cover the earth 6 feet high with bacteria? Ooh, it's everywhere. As a matter of fact, on your body right now, you have bacteria. It's inevitable. That's why we take showers, right? Amen. And use bubbly soap. We have bacteria. We try to keep it under control, don't we? And of course, every so often something gets in there and in the food supply, and I believe that's on purpose. Come on. Poison peanut butter? They put it in there. Spinach? They put it in there. They're creating a problem to demand a solution and more regulations, more control. Higher prices and all that happens all the time, doesn't it? They're a dirty bunch. Amen. But we are in a bacterialized world. And the worst kind of bacteria is not Streptococcus bacillus, Staphylococcus bacillus, Pseudomonas, E. coli, or any of those other ones. It is sin.
That's right.
Yeah. Sin, and it multiplies, and it gets deeper and higher. Thank God for a way out. So Manasseh took away the strange gods, verse 15, and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. Amen. Out with it. Amen. He didn't only come out of Babylon, he threw Babylon out of where he was. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. They'd come a long ways, and they were sacrificing unto the Lord God, but they're doing it in the wrong place, under those green trees. Are there any people that think they're still serving God under green trees? Especially in December? And they shouldn't be doing it? But it shows the mercy and the grace of God here. And you come into contact with the gospel and you realize how beautiful and clean and wonderful the gospel is. The Lord Jesus Christ, Scripture says, thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Jesus never began to decompose. When he died, they put him in the grave. There was no bacteria causing decomposition. Thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. That's why when we remember his body and his blood, as he said to do, this do in remembrance of me. In Matthew chapter 26, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and so forth, we remember him. And by using the pure juice of the grape and the unleavened bread. Why? Because wine is rotten juice. It's fermented. It's corrupt. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Hey, if you've got something you're going to drink that's moving around by itself, you better think twice. How can these priests of Roman Catholicism and these ministers of all these other churches use that corrupted juice and say this represents the blood of Jesus? They're saying he saw corruption. How can they use leavened bread, bread with yeast in it, which forms ethanol through a process and gives off carbon dioxide bubbles and causes it to rise up? How can they say that represents the body of Christ that never saw corruption? It's blasphemous. But they'll do it. And they do it all the time. And all of these masses that are said, crucifying the Son of God afresh, putting him to an open shame. The mass is the killing of Christ. Look it up in the Catholic Encyclopedia if you want to. I did it. The word mass and the word host means victim. Victim. Hostia from the Latin. Mass means the killing or the death of the victim. The mass of Christ is the death of the victim. And every time the priest does his hocus pocus, because what does he say when he holds up the bread? Hoc est corpus meum. Latin. Hoc est corpus. From that you get the words hocus pocus. That's where it came from. So you stand up there like a stage magician. Hocus pocus! Here you go. Huh? Hocus corpus meum, and hands this out to the people. Takes the round wafer like the sun. Behind him is a monstrance, a sunburst, a gold round object with spokes coming off from it, with an IHS on it, named for the Egyptian trinity of Isi, Horus, and Seb. You can't get any more pagan than that. You talk about being in the depth. And then claims to have the power to transform that bread into the body of Christ and that wine, that hooch, Huh? That old red eye, that he can change that into the blood? And then the little bell rings and the altar boy comes out and refills the thing and he drinks another one? Belly up to the altar, boys. Huh? Another round. Give me another round. You know that when Kennedy was being buried, John Kennedy, back in, what was that, 1963? I remember I was in eighth grade. I remember I'd just come back from Phi Ed class. I heard that he was assassinated, and they gave us time off. They shut the schools down, and so I sat there and watched the television and watched Cardinal Cushing do his ceremony there, his high mass. The reason it was a high mass is Kennedy's had high money. Because in Catholicism, high money, high mass, low money, low mass, no money, no mass. So, I watched him, Cardinal Cushing, do this thing, and he was talking his Latin, you know, they always mumble Latin, talking about dominoes, huh? Domine sancto, you know, and sticks his nose in the cup. And he had a nose on him like a anteater. But sticks his nose in the cup and he's going through this thing and then drinks this thing and it holds near to a quart. Big chalice. Then the bell rings. Ding, ding. The altar boy comes out and refilled it. I watched him drink 3 quarts of wine. That's enough to make anybody feel single and see double. And he was starting to slur his speech and got on and on with this high mass. I'll never forget it. He couldn't walk straight. Hey, that's not Christianity. It just is not Christianity. The word Christian means Christ-like. Jesus never rang any little bell and had big chalices of alcohol come and brought. Come on. It all goes back to Babylon. But they hand out that little wafer. He breaks it in 3 pieces first and then starts breaking and handing it out. Body of Christ, body of Christ, body of Christ, body of Christ. Because the priest just killed him and now is handing out his body. That's the mass. See? They can't get enough of the killing of Christ, these Christ killers. They got to kill him over and over and over and over again. And the Bible says that if you crucify the Son of God afresh, you put him to an open shame. He died once for all. And the priest holds up the bread and says, here is Christ. Body of Christ. Did he say it? Body of Christ. Anybody ever do that? Your hand? Body of Christ. Body of Christ. He's saying, here is Christ. What did Jesus say? When they say unto you, lo, here is Christ or there is Christ, believe it not.
Right.
Well, well. Now we shot that bird out of the sky. Okay? But here we see the greatness of God in his forgiveness. A king crying out of the depths in Babylon, covered with spiritual bacteria, and the Lord cleaned him up and brought him back.
Amen.
Turn with me now. Well, we have a little time left. Doesn't it go fast? To the book of Isaiah chapter 6. And Isaiah the prophet is going to become very conscious of his situation. And Isaiah was a great prophet of God. Great prophet of God. I realize the Bible schools today and seminaries teach that Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, was not written back in 700 and something BC. They said it's too detailed and too accurate. It couldn't have been written back then. It had to have been written after Jesus came. You know, if you took the faith that is in these people and put it on the edge of a razor blade, it'll look like a BB on a 4-lane highway. They just don't have any. And they're teaching in this seminary, oh, Isaiah, that's not true. You know, I'm so glad for that little Arab boy that was over there in the Vale of Siddim, over by the Dead Sea, looking at this big cave, and he took a rock and he was playing a little game, you know how boys will do that, trying to throw it through the cave. And he got his rock through there, and he heard a clunk. And he climbed up there and went in, and there was a big pot full of parchments and scrolls. Masoretic text, scripture, stuck away in that cave. Fragments of scripture, various books of the Bible, and only one was complete, a complete book. And wouldn't you know it, It was the book of Isaiah. Amen. Just to make monkeys out of these professors in the seminary. God stuck one away in a cave and let a little Arab boy find it. And there it is. Perfect Masoretic text. And there's only one Bible that text agreed with perfectly, and it was the King James. Amen. So there you go. In Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Amen. Where do I find the hem of his garment? It fills the temple. His train fills the temple. You know, you may not realize it fully yet, but he's in this place and he fills this place with his presence. And if you will reach out in faith and touch him, he'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. He'll heal your diseases. Amen. He'll get rid of that bacteria. Amen. He'll hear your supplication, your prayer. He will be entreated of you. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. You know, these pictures they show you of angels, some have two, they all have two wings, you know. Hey, some have four, some have six. There are no two-winged angels. Right. Just don't believe those artists. Anyway, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Think of this. The old prophet walked into the temple and saw the Lord in one of his manifestations. And amongst the presence of God there with it, holy angels, a seraphim, all through the house of God. What a vision to see. That'd do us all a lot of good, wouldn't it? Huh? And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. Now that's a voice. That's even a little bit stronger than Brian's. When the posts of the held the place up, shook. These were big stone posts, and they shook. And the house was filled with smoke. You know, I have seen in certain meetings, I can think back in the past, where I really saw people worshiping. I could see it was like a blue film just rippling down. Like rain, just coming over them, just coming down. You could see it. I remember one Wednesday night in here, years ago, we were worshiping. And all of a sudden, there was a wind came up from nowhere. And those windows on the side both rattled, just rattled. So much so that I stopped, I went and I looked outside, and there wasn't any wind. As quick as it came, it was gone. The Lord had passed by. Come on. Without question. I remember once baptizing somebody up here and put him down in the water in Jesus' name. And as soon as I said in Jesus' name, put him down in the water, there were spirits that left him and had to go somewhere. And every one of these doors in this building flew open at the same time. The front doors, the side door, the basement door down in the back. And that door at the time had only a deadbolt on it and swung inward. This one still swings inward. Those doors both swung open. As soon as I said in Jesus' name, whoom, every door. Whew. You should have been here. Some of you were. And I went over and I looked at the secondary door in the front here. Those doors were actually paid for by Jerry's father, Wilbert Plime, who donated the money to pay for that. Did you know that, Jerry? Paid for the front doors there. Amen. God touched him. Amen. But anyway, I went and I looked, and that secondary door was wide open, and the bolt was still sticking up, and nothing was ripped out of the header. It was a miracle. Something left here in a hurry. Went through all three doors. Actually, four. Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's an amazing thing. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. What does he become conscious of? Spiritual bacteria. Because I am a man of unclean lips. He's a prophet, but there's no man that sinneth not. You see? I don't care how great you are and how perfect you think you are. If you got in the presence of God, you'd realize how far, far from being right we really are. In fact, the Bible says the righteous are scarcely saved. Where does that leave everybody else? I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. We can relate to that, can't we? For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand. Now you got to remember, this is spiritual fire. We all need a good live coal from God, don't we? Which he had taken from with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth. Where does God put his fire? Right in your mouth. And you speak in another language you never learned. He laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. You have been emulsified. The spiritual bacteria is gone. We all need that. Everybody. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Watch, there's a mission here. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. Once God fills you with the Holy Ghost, you're ready to go. Send me, Lord. I'll preach. I'll tell them. Send me. All that willingness there. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed and perceive not. God already knew. He was sending him out there to a people that are full of spiritual bacteria. They were going to hear, but they weren't going to understand. They were going to see, but not perceive. He said, you got to tell them anyway. Don't ever give up. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy. Fat hearts and heavy ears. Doesn't sound good, does it? And shut their eyes. Boy, it keeps getting worse all the time. Fat hearts, heavy ears, shut eyes. I think I've known people like that. Lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Healing is included in the conversion. God still heals. I don't care how sick you are, how long you've been sick, God still heals. He does not lie. As soon as we get rid of the bacteria, we can get well again. Amen. Boy, I just can't wait to get back there and wash my hands. Then said I, Lord, how long? How long will this go on? How long will people refuse to listen? How long will they ignore thy prophets, ignore thy word? Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land utterly desolate. And folks, we're on our way to that right now. There are many areas of our country where the houses are, nice houses, sitting desolate. foreclosed. Foreclosed, foreclosed. And the vandals come around, strip off the aluminum siding and sell it for scrap. And everything's run down. Go over to Detroit, where the unemployment rate is 50%. It's a battle zone. Well, we're right in the middle of it. You know, Al Gore was going to make a speech on global warming over in Washington there. He got snowed out. Huh? Not only did the Lord send a big whopper of a storm, you know, the blizzard, with a lot of snow falling, record snow, 3 feet high, the cold weather and the nor'easter wind off the Atlantic. And nor'easters are notoriously different from other winds because they don't generally gust very much. It's a steady, constant blowing. Whereas if you have a northwesterly wind or west wind, you'll have gusts and so forth. But a nor'easter is different because it's anticyclonic. It moves counterclockwise, low pressure system. And when that thing hits you, it just keeps going and going and going like the Energizer Bunny. Huh? And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Folks, this is the United States right now. You're seeing the beginning stages of this. But yet it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. What's he saying? There's a remnant. God will have his tithe of people, his tenth. It's a remnant that's scoured off, that's emulsified, that's clean, that's washed, while the rest of the world is wallowing in bacteria. You know, the Lord did wash the earth off one time with water. Remember? And Noah was the greatest financier and money manager in the entire world. You know why? Because he was able to float his stock while the rest of the world was in liquidation. God did wash this world with water. Now, I'm telling you, God has a people who are scoured off, cleansed, and even like an oak tree that's cut down, the stump is there and it springs forth little shoots again. It's still alive. And so he tells us, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. The only substance that you and I have that's of any value is the holy seed that is within us. Scripture says a seed remaineth in him. So we know the Lord is with us. We're going to pray. Let's call upon him. And I urge you, before you leave, dinner will wait. Let's get the praying taken care of. Amen. Let's reach out to the Lord. Let's get emulsified. You wouldn't eat until you're washed. Boy, that's going to be a busy washroom here and there down there because everybody's going to be emulsifying and singing Amazing Grace while the bubbles are all over their hands.
Let's clean the inside first.
Inside first. Then clean the outside, and then dinner will be served later. But right now we got something we need to do. As Dwayne gets ready to come up, we're going to pray. Father in heaven, we do need thee, Lord. Lord, cleanse us. Wash us. Wash away the spiritual bacteria, and we will be clean. As it says in the Scripture, wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. O Lord, let thy power flow upon us. Raise us up, O Lord, as thy remnant. Help us to ever call upon thee at all times. And Lord, sweep over our souls even now. We thank thee, O Lord, for that emulsifying power of the blood and the water, the power of the gospel. We thank thee for it in Jesus' name. Let now thy Spirit breathe upon us. Call thy people together, O Lord, and let us be made clean in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.